So amazing to be here. I'm Pastor Matt, married to the most amazing person, Frankie, and just so thankful to be a part of the work here at Calvary Corvallis. And when you guys came in, I think you're probably given one of the Calvary invite cards. We just made some new ones because we wanted to put the Summer Fun Sundays information on the back. So those are for you guys to hand out. And I would say for me, I like to keep one in my pocket. If you're a woman, maybe keep one right there at the side of your wallet and your purse. And it's kind of like when you see somebody, sometimes the Lord will prompt you just to do like the quick draw and invite somebody to church. That's the way I look at it. It's just the quick draw. So that's kind of us encouraging you just to invite people to come to this beautiful place. Wanted to let you know that Pastor Rob, our senior pastor, will be back next week. He's been on the Footsteps of Paul tour with Scott and others from this church, but he's really excited. I'm sure he was hoping he could be here today on this really beautiful, perfect Sunday in the amphitheater. But Rob will be back next week. And I also wanted to give you an update on Frankie. I know last week, during the announcement package, I was sharing that she had kind of an unexpected trial with a slipped disc in her back. And it's amazing how within 2 weeks' time, she was able to get diagnosed and see a neurosurgeon and get surgery actually on Thursday of this last week. And Frankie's doing so much better. Her neurosurgeon is my hero right now, just to see Frankie just doing so much better. So she's going to be recovering from that for a little bit, but she will be back. Frankie and I have been married. Oh, yeah, you can go ahead and absolutely shout out to the Lord for that one. So Frankie and I have been married for 29 years, and we have two amazing kids. Their names are Miles and Grace. They're both married, moved out, thriving, and we also have, we're kind of like empty nesters, but in a way we're not, because we've got two dogs, and, they're kind of like our kids now. The two dogs, we have one dog who's a Weimaraner. His name is Bo. And we have another mixed bird dog breed, and his name is Waffles. And I named the first one, and Frankie named the second one. So I don't know if you've ever met a dog named Waffles, but it's really funny, and his name fits him somehow. But imagine me going into the vet clinic for his first shots, and there's a bunch of like women at the counter, and I come in, and they go, "Oh, who do you have with you?" And I go, "It's Waffles." And they go, "Oh, that's so neat that you named him Waffles." And I go, I actually didn't name him Waffles, but it's just a funny thing. But he is a sweet new family member we've had. So, yeah, a little window into Matt and Frankie's world. My role here, and roles change over the years, but currently my role here is I get to oversee the men's ministry of our church. And the property, we have this amazing property that God's given us, and our facilities and all of it is just amazing. But I get to help oversee that, as well as our deacons and a marriage ministry mentor team. So, it's a privilege to get to be a part of the work that God is doing here. I would say, too, it's when I think back about when Frankie and I first found out about this church, it doesn't really seem that long ago, but we actually came for the first time in 2007, and I remember right where we sat. We sat right over here. I think there used to be a big double-trunked oak tree right here, but we sat right here, and I just remember being so moved by the Lord that morning, and I think for me personally, I was kind of spiritually parched, if that's the right way to say it. I just felt like I was kind of in a desert season, and I was yearning for a fresh touch from the Lord. And we came here, and just the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit was just so tangible. I just remember sitting there with my wife and just tears running down my face, which was kind of embarrassing, but I was just like so moved by this place. And And we quickly called this our church home. If you're somebody that's fairly new, I know I've talked to several people even this morning that are fairly new to the church here. I wanted to just mention some of the foundational things about our church, some of the fundamental things that I know about this church that I really appreciate. And I know many of you that have been here before would just nod your head and say, yeah, we really love that about this church too. What do you guys think? And you guys can just, if you want to just say it, maybe just try to take a guess. What is probably the biggest thing that this church is founded on? Prayer. Yeah, everybody kind of says the same thing, prayer. And, you know, I know talking with Rob about when they first started coming to this church, 30 years ago was when Rob and Susie felt the call to come to Corvallis. And he would share that in those days when they first started the church and he was preparing to teach every Sunday, that the attack on his time to study was so intense that he knew that he needed to do more than just try to hunker down and study to teach. But that's when he realized we need to be praying on Saturday nights as a church, praying for the service, praying against the enemy. And that's one of the ways that I understand that the prayer was started here at Calvary, was kind of out of necessity. Like, we're not going to be able to do this without the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So that was 30 years ago, and we have a Saturday night prayer service that's been happening all these years, and it's just the saints, you know, laboring in prayer week after week. And they met last night and prayed for you guys and prayed for this morning. Another characteristic that I think is really evident about this church is we're willing to wait on the Lord before moving, before making decisions. We're willing to wait. And I've heard Rob talk about there's certain times when he's consternating, trying to make a decision, that he'll say, I don't make the decision until I absolutely have to this time. And I think there's so much wisdom in that. And that even includes when we decided to buy the property. You know, there's a lot of prayers, a lot of years of just waiting, seeking, trying to hear, is it now? Should we wait? Is it now? Should we wait? So that's a really powerful spiritual principle, is being willing to wait on the Lord and hear from the Lord and just know that it's the Lord before you make that step. Another kind of Calvaryism phrase that you've probably heard is we say a lot when we're thinking about doing something or thinking about something new, we say, or we ask the question, is this a God idea or is this just a good idea? And sometimes if it's just a good idea, the danger in that is if you move too quickly and it's not, the Lord's not in it, then you're the one that has to manage it. And that can be really hard, versus if the Lord's in it and he's the one doing the work, then he makes it easy. So many of you guys here, it makes me think of Psalm 127:1, that so many of you guys could quote that immediately. But Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain who build it. And it's so true, isn't it? We want the work to be the work of the Spirit, not a work of man, not something that we can be proud of that we did, but truly just a work of the Spirit. And I really sense that that's the work that God's doing here. And it's really a work of the Spirit. One of the things I was going to say that I think when I think of Rob and his leadership over this church and over the staff, is I really appreciate Rob's authenticity and surprising transparency sometimes. You know, even from the pulpit, sometimes he'll share just a weakness or a struggle or a failure that I think is really encouraging to me, because it allows us to be those kind of Christians that don't have to pretend to be perfect. And I think I heard it said one time, if you're part of a church that you go to, everybody's perfect, you either have to pretend to be perfect or you have to be perfect. And nobody can live up to that. So why not just be authentic and share struggles? But I appreciate that about Rob. And also that he is a pastor that lives and teaches the grace of our Lord. And I think because of that makes him a gracious leader. I'm thankful as well that Rob takes risks on people. He took a risk on me 15 years ago to allow me to be a part of the work here. And Rob not only takes risks on people, but he gives people second chances. And I just love that about our pastor. Rob and Susie started the work here 30 years ago. And Rob, I would say one of the things that marks his ministry is he's been faithful to do what God called him to do 30 years ago. And that's to teach the word, to invite people to be saved every single week, which is unique, right? It's not common that people are saved every single week necessarily in every church, but Rob is faithful to teach the word, invite people to be saved, and to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so those are some of the things that Frankie and I are very thankful for. We love this church, and I imagine most, if not all of you, can resonate with those things as well. I would describe Calvary Chapel Corvallis as a beautiful work of the Spirit. And that's not saying there isn't other thriving works of the Spirit happening here in Corvallis, because there is, in Albany and surrounding areas. But there's something really special that we appreciate about the specific work that God is doing here, and it's a work of the Spirit. God gave us this beautiful church property and all of the things, the amazing artistic design of the building, and all of it is amazing. But the most amazing thing is the Holy Spirit doing the work and the grace that God has on this church. I've heard it mentioned before. I heard somebody call Calvary Corvallis a hillside of grace. And I think that's pretty neat, pretty accurate. So we have been in a series. Rob's been teaching a series, and before he left, he did several weeks in a row teaching on the Holy Spirit. And that's a powerful teaching series. If you haven't had a chance to hear all those teachings, I would encourage you to go on the app or the website and listen to those. But Rob talked about, on one week, he taught about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he also taught about the person of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And check those out if you haven't had a chance to listen to those in their entirety. One of the passages I was thinking about preparing to share this morning was the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. And that passage, you can turn there if you like, if you have your Bible or your phone. But 1 Corinthians 12, in that first part, Paul's talking about the diversity in the church. And there's unity, but there's also diversity. And Paul mentions how there's a diversity of gifts. There's different gifts. There's different ministries. And there's different activities in the church. But it's the same God and the same Spirit who works in all of us. And I think what Paul's trying to say there is, even though our function in the church might be different and we have different weights and different areas that we might serve in the ministry, but it's the same Spirit. It's all the same in the Lord's economy. And I think here, you guys that have been around here for any length of time know there's a lot of activity here. There's a lot of different ministries that have been birthed and branch out, and we're sending people away from this church, and we always have our ear to the Lord. God, what are you asking us to do? What else would you like to do here? And so there's a lot of activities and diversity here. But I wanted to look at that second part of 1 Corinthians 12. And this section is really amazing how Paul makes the comparison between the human body and the body of Christ. And I know this is probably a familiar passage to a lot of us, but I'm just going to read through it really quick. So Paul says, starting at verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." I love that last part, that God sets us each in the body just as he pleases. And when you think about our bodies, like, there's many more people that could teach a better message on just the miracle of the human body and all the functions of the body. But I was just thinking about, like, our ears, you know, just the simplicity of how God gave us two ears. He gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? But he also gave us two ears so that we can hear a sound off in the distance and immediately triangulate exactly where that sound's coming from. And things that I think about is, like, even our sense of smell, you know, that God gave us a sense of smell to be able to appreciate different fragrances. And how it's interesting how our sense of smell is our strongest memory trigger. I think that's fascinating. Frankie had this injury out of nowhere. She had this slipped disc in her back, and it just took her out. I mean, just out of nowhere, just took her out. And that's just, to me, it's a reminder of just one small part of our body is out of place and the whole body suffers, right? But God sets us all in the body of Christ as he pleases. And we all have a specific role, a specific place that's God designed. And that's a question maybe I just want to throw out right now for you to think about. Did you know that God has a particular place for you in the body of Christ? And think about that, you know, think about that God says that he does, and he's pleased to place us all where he sees best fit. I love part of my role here as a ministry leader and overseer is I love that I get to come alongside people and help them figure out their place. And it's probably the most exciting, my favorite part of what I get to do is helping people find an on-ramp into the ministry. And raising up teams is really satisfying for me. And in a church this size, there's no other way to do the ministry here other than to have teams that do the work of the ministry. And I love one of the ways I would say it is I love helping people find a place at the table, you know, where people need to know that we want you to be part of the ministry here and God has a very important place for you here. So I love that. And I think there's a natural progression, right? That when you're feeling that prompting of the Lord and you want to start serving, and maybe prior to that, you weren't even open to, like, serving, or you didn't even really think that God could use you in that way. But you start serving, and the next thing you know, more responsibility is being placed in your hand. And God kind of has a tendency to do that, right? When we're faithful with a little, He makes us ruler over much. And so you might start serving in the most, in your mind, like the smallest thing, but before you know it, you're able to do more in the kingdom. And I think there's kind of a natural progression that goes from serving to maybe bearing more weight, or maybe saying, hey, this is an area I think the church really needs somebody to take more ownership. And then there's kind of a natural progression where people sometimes feel the call, like, I want to really help you and be faithful to this one area. And we would call that bearing weight. And also, sometimes along the line in that progression, you find yourself leading a ministry. All of a sudden, man, I just started doing the simplest thing here. And over the years, all of a sudden, I'm leading a Bible study, or I'm leading this whole ministry. And I just love how the Lord works in that way. And I think he is just looking for faithfulness, people that are willing to serve and bear weight and are faithful. I do have to check myself as a ministry leader when I get to have those conversations with people that are like, man, I really feel like I want to serve here and I'm not sure how to do that. I can sometimes quickly think in my mind, where do we need help? What's the gap that I could plug this person into? But I have to be careful with that, because I think a more important question is, what are you passionate about? What do you feel like the Lord is telling you? Where do you feel like the Lord is leading? And that might not be in my ministry. It might not directly affect what I'm doing, but I think that's the more important question. And the question along those same lines is, what's life-giving to you? One time I had a guy, really cool man, came up to me and he goes, you know, I've been trying to be faithful and help out in the church, but I started out trying to teach a Sunday school class, and I don't think kids' Sunday school is my thing. But he goes, but you put me on the back 40 to split firewood and help deliver firewood. He goes, that's the lane that I think I need to live in, and that's okay. Not everybody is called to be a Sunday school teacher, but I just appreciated him saying that. I want to say thank you to this church as well for the hundreds of people that serve every week. And, you know, it's amazing. We have so many people bearing weight. And, you know, towards the end of the summer, we started doing a appreciation lunch. We do like a catered lunch to try to say thank you. And we just do the best we can, like, to try to say thank you. But the funny thing is I don't think anybody that's serving is doing it for the thanks, but we just want to honor. And even this morning, I would just like to say thank you. I wonder if we could just give a shout out to everybody that's serving. Can you guys give everybody that's serving in this church a hand? Yeah, it's amazing. This morning, just sidebar, funny note is we lost an oak tree, as you guys know. We had to get the oak tree out of here because it was hazardous. And we did this quick pivot and we put in these shade umbrellas, which is great. And we did all that within a couple weeks time span. This morning, I never predicted this would happen, but this is kind of like a wind tunnel here. And the wind blew in here and was starting to pop all the umbrellas out of their stands. Like six umbrellas just jettisoned out of their stands. And I was thinking, huh, almost like in denial. No, that's not happening, because we designed those really good. But one of the men in our church who's a contractor comes early just to see where he's needed to serve. And he goes, it's okay, Matt. I figured out a hack. We can just tie the rope down below and just cinch it really tight and they won't pop out of those stands. So really appreciate that. And guys like him that are just like, see the need. And there's a phrase I like, see the need, take the lead. It's a great phrase. But thanks to David, I think all of our umbrellas are safe and sound. So you don't have to be constantly watching your back this morning. So we have so many people serving in this church, and I think about things like putting up umbrellas, things like coming in, putting out the coffee for the coffee ministry. A lot of you guys might not know that we work with Love, Inc., which is Love in the Name of Christ, is a parachurch organization here in Corvallis, and we work with them to try to supply firewood for needy families in the winter. So there's a whole other sub-ministry that's happening way out in the back of our property that's amazing. And then we have a lot of men involved in that firewood ministry. I think about things like the women helping provide basic needs for women overseas that don't have just simple sanitary items and things that they need. And our church rallies to try to help with those things. Even the barbecue ministry, you've heard, like, we need tons and tons of people to help pull that off. But it's so cool, isn't it, that you could come and just serve and help prepare the meal or put a hamburger patty on a bun. And all that, in the greater fruit of that is that families can grow closer together and stick around and enjoy a meal together. And so it's just all part of the inner workings of the body of Christ, which I think is so powerful. Okay, I wanted to jump to another passage in the Word, and this is in the book of Ephesians, and it's chapter 2, where Paul says, and I'm just going to read, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I want you guys to really let that penetrate, that we are his workmanship. We are his poema, is kind of an original language word that just means that we are his masterpiece. And that's powerful to think about. And just to think about, you know, think about that for a minute. Did you know that that's how God sees you, as his masterpiece? A carefully crafted design with purpose in mind. And I want you to just really think about that this morning. And to think about the fact that God has good works for you to walk in that bring him glory. And not only that, but God wants you to walk in those works that bring him glory, to see others saved through your life. Pretty amazing. God wants to do a beautiful work in your life. This is a beautiful work, Calvary Corvallis. It's God's grace on this church. There's no other way to explain it. But each one of us, God has a plan, a master plan, that he wants you to be a part of and wants to do that work. We want to see you be able to walk in all that God has for you. And we don't want to be a church that just wants you to be a part of things because we need you to do a task. But we really, I think the heart is that we want to see you be able to walk fully in what God has. And even if that doesn't benefit us directly, right? I think one of the most powerful things that you can pray, and it's so simple, and I find myself praying this more and more, is just the simple prayer of saying, "God, what are you asking me to do right now?" You know, when I was helping Frankie over the last couple weeks, I got a little bit like confused of like, I don't know how else to help her. I can't, you know, she's hurting. But I just, every day I just try to get up and make my coffee and just go, "Lord, what are you asking me to do today? How can I help her? Who should I call?" And the Lord just ordered my steps. And I think that's so true about the Lord, isn't it? That he'll answer our prayers. We're talking about us being God's masterpiece. God wants to use us in the ministry. And I don't know how that penetrates some of you. Some of you might just be thinking, "Nope, that doesn't penetrate because I would never qualify for that. You know, you guys talk about this beautiful place and all that God's done, but my life is pretty much a hot mess right now. But you know what? If you only knew how God could use you. And I'll say along those lines, if you're broken, if you're hurting, if you got stuff going on that's just hard, it's okay if this is a season for you to just be here and just to be and not to feel like you have to be doing ministry or you have to be serving, but just to be here and just be under the teaching of the word, worship, letting others pour into you. And that's right, that there's a season for that. And I'll say that none of us serve because we have it all together. And if we wait till we have it all together, we're just going to have to hang our heads and walk away, right? What I love about serving and being a part of something greater than myself is it helps me to be, immediately helps me to be about others, and it takes the focus off myself. And I know that's good for me, that God really wants me to not make myself, my own idols, the biggest thing, but to be willing to see what he's about. God really does refine us through serving and being in community, and I love that. Definition of serving, I've heard it said before, is when you're serving the Lord, you're simply giving of your time, your treasure, and your talents for the sake of others. And it's a beautiful thing for me to see all the different expressions of that in this church, you know, to see people that God's blessed and they're secretly a part of the work of financially supporting this church. People that are just wildly gifted in certain areas, and they're using that talent for the Lord. And it's truly a beautiful work. And I want to just say to each one of you this morning, I feel like it's no accident that you're here. Really trusting the Lord. We were praying this morning before the service and really trusting that the Holy Spirit would encourage your heart this morning, that he would be speaking directly to a place in your heart that you needed to hear from him. But I just want you to know, I really feel like it's no accident that God has you here. This work, as God's been constructing this church and building the work here, as the church grows, the needs grow, right? And we want to be a place that you don't immediately, and I'll just say it again a different way, we don't want to be a place where you immediately feel like as soon as you walk in the door, somebody grabs you because you should be serving, or somebody's like, hey, if you've been here 2 weeks, like you should be doing something. No, like the Lord needs to be telling you that. But there's a phrase that Pastor Chuck used to say, and it's that we work really hard to appear really laid back. And if you think about that, a Calvary Chapel is pretty laid back, right? We're not suit and tie. This kind of feels like a beach community. Like you're like, man, I love this church. It's not stuffy. And we want that. That's the DNA of Calvary Chapel. But behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into that. Made me think about this week, for some reason, thinking about this and praying and studying, made me think about the movie The Titanic. And you guys remember when that movie came out? Like, it was epic. I mean, people wanted to go back to the movies again because of that movie. But do you remember in that movie how you had the upper class, the first class passengers, that they had the best of the best, and they lived on the upper deck and wined and dined, and everything was perfect up on the upper decks. But the farther you got down in the ship, all the way down to the engine room, where you had these massive, my favorite part of the movie was those big steam engines and those piston rods. But down in the belly of the ship, you had the guys that were just, their whole job all day long was shoveling coal into those steam engines to keep that ship running. And that's an interesting picture of maybe how the church can function sometimes that's not balanced, where there's a few people working really, really hard, but we don't want people to work so hard or put heavy burdens on people. We really feel like many hands make light work. And so that's our heart, is like, we want you to serve, but we want to manage things appropriately to where you don't get burnt out. And maybe you've come from a church. I've talked to people that have come from experiences where they're like, man, I just can't serve for a while. I went to church and they had five ministries and I led all of them. And I was never not at the church and it just burned me out. And that's hard. Like, I get that. That's hard. So we want to be careful about that. But why do we need to be so aware of this work? And why is it so important that we all have our place and find our function? Why is that so critical in the church? I like to ask a lot of questions, and I didn't plan on sharing this, but hopefully my son's not listening right now, but when my son was a teenager and he got to be about 16, 17 years old, I realized all of a sudden I needed to stop trying to dictate everything to him like I could do when he was younger. But he was in a season that he needed to be respected as a man just as much as I did. One of my mentors told me, Matt, this is a time in your life when you just start to need to start asking really good questions. Just avoid the bold statements and just ask really good questions. So where am I going with this? I don't know. But other to say, I like to try to remember, ask good questions. And one of the guys that's bearing a lot of weight in the ministry here, him and I sat down and had lunch the other day. And if I told you his name, he would force me to buy him La Raquita burritos for the rest of his life. So I'm not going to do that. But I sat down with him and I just said, hey, like, what is it that motivates you to serve in this capacity? You know, you come up here several days a week, you're serving, you're blessing me beyond measure. But what's the main motivation? And when we talked, he shared with me that he went from not having a lot of extra time, not by choice, but he worked a lot, to he retired early, actually, and all of a sudden he realized he had more time to give. And he told me, you know, I just want to give back to the Lord, and I want to do my part. And that really, I really struck me, that statement that he said, I want to do my part. And I think there's two different ways you could look at that. One way would be to say, like, yeah, everybody needs to do their part so things can function properly. But I think what's deeper, the deeper meaning of what he said was that he has a God-given part to play, that God has a role for him to play. And I think right now in the season of his life, he feels like he's found that role, and it's beautiful. I love how he said that. But the question again is, why is this so important that everybody finds their function in the church and everybody is a part of the work here? I wanted to read from Ephesians chapter 4 and just a couple verses that I think kind of shed light on this question. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 says, "We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And I love how that the last part of that passage really explains it, that God wants the church to be edified. And to edify simply means to build up or to strengthen something. So in the church, God's constructing, he's building, he's growing the work, and he wants the work to be edified and built up and strengthened. And the more that God's able to do that, the more God extends the reach of his church and the more effective we can be for the kingdom. And I would say this, that if you're here this morning and you're just like, man, Matt's just hitting on it. Like, I want to be a part. I want to understand what God wants me to walk in. I would pray that you don't lose heart, and I pray that you would trust the Lord to help you navigate and find that perfect place in the body. We're a church that doesn't have perfect systems. We try to do the best we can with our app and, you know, different things to try to help you find that on-ramp. But I really believe if you're feeling prompted by the Lord to step into more of what God has for you, you're not going to miss it. If you put up your hand and you say, Lord, like, here I am, use me. I mean, don't you think that God's going to bless that and help you find what that is? So we will do our best to help you with that. But I trust that God will honor that. If that's in your heart to be used in a greater way today, I really trust that God's going to honor that. So you might hear me saying or asking the same question more than once, but I wanted to do that just so you could think about it one more time. And the question is, do you really believe today that God wants to do a beautiful work through your life? And I want you to really think about that, because he does. And when God says that we're his workmanship, he's not saying that I'm going to use you despite the hot mess you are for my glory, but I'm going to just leave you like you are. No, God sees us as the most important project, and as he's working on us, he's using us. And it's incredible how God gives us the grace to be effective for him. And maybe, I mean, there's a lot of you guys here today that maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I am so glad that God showed me how I can be used. And you're already seeing the fruit of that. You're already seeing that, man, I'm just trying to be more and more pliable. God's using me here. God's using me here. It's amazing. I just get to see God's fingerprints all over that. And that's amazing. I love that. And I would say, praise God, you're slotted. God slotted you in a really good place. But I would also say, if you're someone in that other category that just thinks, no, if you only knew about my marriage, if you only knew how much I'd failed, you know, in certain areas, like you wouldn't include me in that category. But the good news is, from cover to cover of the Bible, is God using broken people and redeeming their life for his purpose. We just have to be obedient to trust him that he's able to redeem those broken things in our life. And I really feel like he wants you to trust him for where you're at today. And it makes me wonder about, you know, some of you that might be sitting here and you're kind of stuck, and maybe there has been a failure in your marriage, or maybe you feel like, man, I've failed and asked for forgiveness too many times. The Lord's just, I'm disqualified. Maybe you're dealing with shame or feelings of unworthiness. I don't know what it is, but I would just encourage you today, don't hold back and and trust that the Lord potentially today is a pivot point where God wants to remind you, you are my masterpiece and I have good works for you to walk in. And I think that you really need to know that above anything else today, that God loves you and he's proud of you and wants to work in you, not just through you, but in you for his glory. If you're here today and you're hearing those things, but maybe you're here today and you don't even consider yourself a Christian, I'm glad you're here. And I think it's no accident that you're here today. And I wanted to just tell you that no matter where you're at, that God wants to extend his hand of grace and forgiveness and wants to partner with you and help you understand his ways. The truth is, before you can walk in all that God designed you to be, there does have to be a transformation that takes place. And there's a transformation that God first wants to do in your heart. And I think that that's the first step. If you are here today and you're not a Christian, and you're like, I'm not even sure why I'm here today, but just know this, that God wants to meet you and transform your heart so that you can be filled with his Spirit and that he can begin to help you understand what it means to walk in his ways and understand all the things that he has for you. That transformation gives way to a new identity, and that new identity all of a sudden opens up to a whole new trajectory of walking in what he has for you. And it's the amazing Christian life. So thinking about in the gospel, in Matthew 11, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't know, maybe some of you guys needed to hear that today, that God wants you to know that his way is easy. It's not the burden of more work, more trying to prove our value to the Lord, more religious activity, but God wants you to know that his arms are open. Come to me and I will give you rest. Romans 10:9, Paul says simply, this is the gospel. This is how we cross the threshold and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God doesn't make it complicated, but he sent his son Jesus to die, to stand in the gap, to die for our sins so that we don't have to. And he's provided that sacrifice that we can know him, that his Holy Spirit can fill us, and that we can live with him for eternity. That's the good news of the gospel. So I'm going to pray for you. First, I wanted to pray for any of you that might be in that category this morning, that you're not yet a believer, but maybe the Lord's pricking your heart this morning. Maybe you're here not by accident, and this morning is the morning where you're going to cross that line for the first time. So I want to pray for you. And if you're somebody that you're sensing that that's you, would you just maybe just as you bow your head and maybe just you could even vocalize it to yourself, but would you just repeat after me? And I'm just going to pray this prayer over you this morning. Father God, I just come to you this morning, Lord, and just acknowledge that I need you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I need you to be on the throne of my life and to be my Lord and Savior. And I accept the work of the cross. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me for my sins. And Lord, I want to turn. I want to go from doing things my way to understanding your ways, Lord. And I pray that you just forgive me for my sins and help me to live for you. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit today. Lord, that I would even know what that is, that you would fill me and reside in me and show me the ways that you have for me to walk in. I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.